Again, we want to continue looking at how to study the Bible. We began a segment on observation, what a passage is saying. It's not a matter of what we think it says or what we would like it to say. It's a matter of what it says. And observation, of course, is necessary for us to discover what it says. To me, there are various ways of reading the Scriptures, and I believe they all have a part or a place in the proper study. We began this segment with an observation of the whole, that is, reading a passage of Scripture through without necessarily stopping, just reading it through, and do that several times. And just doing that, you can't help but notice some things. And we need to write those things down, but again, that's not where we stop. Again, the analogy of a puzzle. You look at the picture on the box, that's an overview. It gives you an idea of what you're putting together. It gives you an idea of the subject. That leads to an observation of the parts. To me, each word in the Bible, you can view it as a piece of the puzzle. Each word. That means each word has place. It fits. And that leads us to the purpose of observing the parts. And again, you don't stop with looking at the picture in the box. You don't stop with just scattering the piece on the table and looking at them. That's not where you stop, but that's part of the process. So I believe one of the first things is, in the study of the Bible, we must realize that every portion of Scripture, just like a puzzle, has an arrangement, has a structure, has a framework. And that structure and that framework consists of parts. And those parts, in this case with the Bible, words, those parts reveal the thoughts or events described. So it's very important that we observe parts and we observe words. Recognizing the framework of a verse or a passage of Scripture should lead us into a closer look at the details. Again, it's like you scatter the pieces of a puzzle on a table. You begin to separate pieces by color. And all that is for the purpose of the next step, which is putting it together. And that, of course, would be an observation of the details, which we'll get to after this segment. But again, very important. Everything in the Word of God has its proper place. And it's imperative that we keep things in their place. Everything has its proper place in relation to the subject matter. And again, it's important that we recognize in a passage of Scripture or a verse of Scripture or a sentence of Scripture, it's important that we recognize the subject. And again, that gets us back, or we'll talk more about when we get into observing the details. And most people never get to the point of observing details. But observing the parts is, it's like when you work a puzzle again. Most of the time, most people, you look for the edge pieces. You create a border. Within that border, everything fits. And once you have the border established, there's a form, and you see the shape of the puzzle. And then, of course, you move from there to a border provides, again, a framework. A border provides an outline, and that we've already talked about that when we observe the whole. Just reading a passage of Scripture through, and if you read it through 7 or 8 times, you should be able to have an outline. You have an idea of the framework of what you're reading, and that enables you to fit the pieces together. So how do we observe the parts? How do we, and it's not creating a framework, how do we visualize the framework of a passage of Scripture? Because I believe we need to do that. There has to be that framework if we're going to get to a real interpretation. And we've looked at this already, and we're going to look at it again today, and we're going to look at it again in even more detail when we get to observing the details. But I believe a way that is very helpful in observing the framework of a passage of Scripture and beginning to get a better idea of the pieces is to read a verse. Divide that verse into clauses or phrases or whatever you want to call it, and read it in that way. Again, we begin with an overview of the whole. You read the verse through. You don't really stop and think. You just make observations. You jot those observations down. Now you've done that. You have a general idea of the subject by just observing. And now you begin to read the verse in a different way. You begin to break it up into parts. And as you read a part, you stop. And you think. And you meditate upon what you've just read. Then you can go on to the next part. Might be the next day. Then you can go on to the next part. And it's like segments of the puzzle, and this is how we begin to put the parts together. You don't just have a part out here floating around somewhere. It fits somewhere. And so we need to keep that in mind. But in doing this, in reading a verse of Scripture or a passage of Scripture, dividing it into parts, to me it becomes easy at that point to observe the framework and format of a passage. It becomes more and more obvious. And it becomes very easy at that point to see an outline. You know, people say all the time, well, I'm not good at outline. Well, I don't think you're reading it right. I don't think you're reading it right. Because if you read it right, the Word of God outlines itself. So, dividing it into sections, we're more able to see the parts. We're more able to see the details. And that, of course, leads to a discovery of what it says, which helps us, which is the goal. And that is a personal application, the Word of God. Last week we looked at two passages of Scripture, and we want to go back to those. John chapter 6. We've looked at these that if we were to just read them through without stopping, you can't help but see the subject matter. Can't help but observe certain things. But let's read it in a different way, show what I mean by what I've just said. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And stop right there. Just take that part set it aside. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You set that part to the side. You think upon it. After you've done that a while, read the next part. And, so there's a connection. All the parts connect. And him that cometh to me. And him that cometh to me. Read that in part. Connect it to the previous part. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me. Well, if you're not just racing through it and you just read it in parts, you have to ask. You can see that the ones who come to him are who? The ones that the Father gave him. And how many times people just read that through, but again, if you just divide it into parts, you can't help but see that. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. That's one part. Again, it's like putting the blue pieces over here, the red pieces over here. Eventually, they all come together. But it's separating by parts. And him that cometh to me, read the next part, I will in no wise cast out. Those who come are those whom the Father gave. And we have a promise. They will come, and he will not cast them out. Then read the next section. For I am come down from heaven. For. That's like saying because, for this reason. Again, it connects. We're not just dividing the parts and leaving them out here somewhere. There's a connection. For I came down from heaven. You say, well, what does that have to do with all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out? Well, he's going to give us a reason why those other two parts are so. For I came down from heaven. Then he tells us why he came down from heaven. That could be another part. Not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I came down from heaven. Jesus is speaking. Didn't come to do something independent of the Father, but I came to do the will of him that sent me. And you can think about that, and we'll get into more when we get into the details. And this, again, there's that word then. This is a new section, new part of the verse. And, again, it connects with the previous statement. And you can not only read a passage this way, but write it down in this way. And then look back at it. If that helps. And this is the will of him that sent me. He said he was sent. Said he didn't come to do his own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me. And then he tells us what that will is. That of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Then notice we can have another part. But, rather than losing something given him, but should raise it up again the last day. But should raise it up again the last day. That answers what is meant by the previous statement. All that he hath given me, I should lose nothing. What do you mean you shall not lose it? I shall raise it up the last day. Then you can take another part. And this is the will of him that sent me. That goes back about three parts, which when he said, this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. And there again, we have a repetition, and that we'll get into that when we get into details. Observe repetition. The Bible is filled with repetition. I almost laugh out loud when someone talks about a preacher using repetition. Read your Bible. It's filled with repetition. Why? Because that's how we learn. That's how we learn. Repetition. Go back to your school days. Repetition. Repetition. So, and the Word of God's filled with it, and it's good for us to observe repetition because it's a main point. I guarantee you, when something is repeated, the Lord is saying, I want you to get this. I want you to get this. Therefore, I'm repeating it a second time, a third time, a fourth time. But again, we can observe repetition better when we divide a verse or a passage, in this case a passage, into parts. That repetition is more easily identified. So, and this is the will of him that sent me. I will raise it up the last day. Now, as we've already seen, just reading the passage through without stopping, there is an observing of the obvious. An initial impression is made. And just reading verse 37 through 40 through, you cannot help but see the subject is the mission of Christ. You may phrase it a little differently, but we all get the idea that the subject is Christ. The subject is the mission or the work of Christ that he was sent to do. But then as you divide the passage into parts, and you can divide it into, you can get technical and is it a proper clause, a proper phrase? You can do that if you want to, or you can just divide it into parts the best way that helps you. But I believe it's helpful to divide it into parts. And by doing that, we're now more able to observe the pieces, and as we'll see later, we're more able to observe the details of the subject matter. It should never be enough for you and I, when we're studying the Word of God, just to know the subject matter. We ought to want to know the details. And if we dig, if we search, the details are there. The details are there. And if you get to a point where the details aren't there, don't put details there that aren't there. There are details. Draw out from those details. So if you break this passage up into parts, into segments, you begin to see very plainly that the Father has given a people to Christ. And this is true. I mean, I don't believe we should read the Bible for the sake of argument, but if you're talking to someone and trying to get them to understand something, most people, what they do is just give verse after verse after verse and read it through. There's a better way. All that the Father giveth me. Stop right there. What does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, how can they possibly... Well, the Father gave somebody Christ. I mean, what else can it mean? Instead of just reading it through and saying, do you see that? No, because you've given them too much. Just take that phrase. All that the Father giveth me. So we learn by just dividing it into segments, the Father has given a people to Jesus Christ. Next section tells us that all of those that are given to Christ by the Father shall come, every one of them. And all of those given to Christ shall come to Christ and shall not be turned away. They shall not be turned away. Christ came down to do the will of the Father. The will that he came down to do is to lose none of those given to him of the Father, but rather that he would raise them up the last day victoriously. Notice in John chapter 10, and we looked at this also, just reading it through, but John chapter 10, and let's read verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And you can go down and from there read, let's say we read verses 14 through 18. We've already seen that if you read it straight through without stopping, you cannot help but observe some things, and you cannot help but observe that Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. I mean, you read that through, and you have to come to that conclusion that Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. But if you, again, divide it into parts, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Just stop right there. That's a good thing to just kind of put to the side. It's really the subject of the passage. I am the good shepherd. And you can dwell on that for days. You can dwell on that for months. You can put together a study on I am the good shepherd. You can even I am. And whenever he says I am, there's something, of course, that has to follow. You have to be something. But I am the good shepherd. Next section of that passage would be the good shepherd, which is who? Christ. Did he not say, I am the good shepherd? The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's a part of his goodness. Then you can take another section. Verse, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Then drop down to verse 14. I am the good shepherd. There's a repetition. He stated it twice now. You state something twice, seems to me that it might be more important than if you just stated it once. Or at least that it's something he wants us to get. It's something he wants us to grasp, to understand. So that would be another section. And it's a repetition again. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. Again, this all fits together. If we go back to verse 11 and read that second part, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And now we have this segment over here, and know my sheep. He gives his life for the sheep, and he knows the sheep that he gives his life for. And am known of mine. Another section would be, as the Father loveth me, or knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Now that tells us there's a connection between the Father and the shepherd. There is also a connection between the shepherd and the sheep. Now, if there is a connection between the Father and the shepherd, and there is a connection between the shepherd and the sheep, is there not a connection between the Father, God, and the sheep? And then the next section, or segment, would be, and I laid down my life for the sheep. Now that's a repetition also, not in the exact same words. Remember back in verse 11, our second part of verse 11, the good shepherd does what? Gives his life for the sheep. Now we have this section, this part, and I laid down my life for the sheep. He's now explained what he means by the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I lay down my life. That's voluntarily, that's willingly, for the sheep. Then another part that you can write down, the next section would be, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, which of course would be the Jewish fold, them also, the them, of course, referring to the other sheep that I have. And again, if you read it in part, you can't help but notice these things. Them also I must bring. It takes longer. It's much more painstaking to divide a verse into parts than it is just to read it through. But I guarantee you, if you read it in parts and you write until you get used to doing it, more familiar with doing it, and write down each part, you will notice things that you never noticed before. You will see things that you never saw just reading it straight through. It's very difficult for me to read a verse straight through. My tendency is to go back and to just... It's very difficult for me when I'm reading a passage of Scripture just in your hearing has a text, not to stop at each part. But you can't do that. We'd be here all day. And I realize some of you think there have been times you thought you might be. But we do need to get ourselves in the habit of realizing we don't need to just rush through the Word of God. It's not a race. And it's not you have to read, and we've talked about this so many times, that you have to read X amount of verses in a day. That's dangerous. It's not a race. We want to discover what it means. But again, well, we've run out of time, but practice this. And it's not so important how you divide it up, but read a verse of Scripture in parts. And then just stop and meditate on that part. And you'll be amazed at how easy it is to begin to fit the parts together. And that of course is the details. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are the teacher, nor that you are the interpreter of your word. And we just pray that you would give us understanding every time we open your word, that you would enlighten our eyes, that you would cause us, Lord, to see what you've put there for us. And Lord, that we would realize that everything that you have put in your word is for us and is for our learning. We just pray that you'd help us. Help us, Lord, to be good students of your word. Help us, Lord, to be learners of your word. And we do pray that you'd help us today to worship you, to give you the honor, to give you the glory, that our attention would be upon you, that you would draw our hearts closer to thee and those that are lost, Lord, that you'd save their souls. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.